All right, welcome back to the Go for the Stick Flagstick podcast. This is day two of our road trip. I'm Scott McLeod, the associate publisher from Flagstick Golf Magazine. And once again, as I was last night, joined by Flagstick Golf Magazine publisher Jeff Botter. Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, it's good to be back again. It's my second podcast. I'm so excited about doing this.
Well, I mean, our road trip's been very interesting so far. Today, obviously, we woke up at the old Mill River Resort. I guess before we get to it, if somebody hasn't listened to yesterday's podcast, they can do so on flagstick.com. We are here in Prince Edward Island doing our annual road trip. As I mentioned, this is the second day of it. We've been doing this road trip for 19 years. And we chose this year to come down to Prince Edward Island. And again, as for those who didn't listen to yesterday's, this is Jeff's first time in Prince Edward Island. I've got a lot of history here, and it's been great to kind of show you around and see everything. And I guess as far as the golf journey is concerned, we did stay at Mill River Resort last night. And woke up this morning, had a nice little breakfast.
Overlooking the 18th green.
Yeah, and unfortunately the weather... It was not cooperating. I mean, we had a little bit of rain that we played in yesterday. We played at Glasgow Hills, which is in New Glasgow. But I guess, you know what? We put on our rain gear and away we went, right?
The expectation was there. We knew what we were going to get. It was not as bad as it was yesterday as far as the weather goes. I felt anyway. The rain didn't hurt. Yesterday the rain hurt. Today the rain didn't hurt. And it was intermittent at times, too. It wasn't steady. There were a few holes where it vanished.
Yeah, we had some sheets of rain out there, but it didn't harm us too badly. And I guess the big benefit of that is we didn't have a lot of people on the golf course. We got out early, and we were able to get a round in fairly quickly because of that. Now, for those that are not familiar with Mill River Resort, their golf course, it was built in 1971. It was a Robbie Robinson design. Years later, it eventually had some redesigned with Graham Cook. He redesigned, I believe, six holes at the golf course. Over the years, it has hosted at least three national championships as far as Golf Canada Amateur Championships, a couple of PGA Tour Canada events, then the Canadian Tour, and at least one Des Maurier Series event. So besides the Big Break, which it hosted, I guess, 9 years ago now. So it has hosted some good events, and it's an interesting venue. I mean, what were your thoughts as far as the golf course was concerned?
Well, let me just say we can add one more significant event to its hosting, as it hosted us. So I don't think they'll be putting that on any boards or anything like that, but we felt that was a significant event. The golf course was great. I really enjoyed it. Again, it had a lot of elevation changes to it. There were some really nice par threes for sure. And some very difficult holes, some that had a lot of water, and proved to be a bit of a challenge at times, those holes. But all in all, I think the golf course was a good golf course to play, very playable, very walkable if somebody had to walk it, or I guess you can walk that golf course. Not us, but someone could walk that golf course. It's a very walkable golf course and very playable, very resort. You know, very much a resort golf course.
Yeah, it's friendly for the golfer. I mean, for the better player, if they want to score well, there's certainly more than a few dog legs on there. And, you know, it requires you to shape the shot if you want to keep the ball in play, especially off the tee. There's certainly some fairways that tilt one way or the other, so you've got to kind of protect that a little bit. Being the fact that we played the golf course a little bit softer with the rain, you know, we didn't have the ball running down off those slopes and the fairways as much as we might have if you're dealing with the golf course, if it was playing a little bit firmer that way. But certainly I know when you look at those greens, I know a lot of people, when they talk about Mill River, they do talk about the greens, and they were in great condition, and they can certainly get pretty fast. The slopes are not as severe as Glasgow Hills when we talk about ups and downs, but there are a couple holes with a good bit of elevation. And as you said, some of the par threes, especially, that adds a lot of, you know, kind of a appeal, I guess, to those par threes as far as looking down off elevated tee shots. And I think you mentioned when you're talking about a holes with water, that would be the famous seventh hole, which is split by, I believe it's 11 ponds that work its way down the middle of this par four. And it's certainly a hole that the golf golf course is known for. But, you know, overall, the golf course has aged pretty well, I would say. You know, eventually they'll probably do some upgrades on a few different things that are out there. There has a lot of potential now that they've done, you know, $8 million been put into the resort. It'd be interesting to know if they're going to do any renovations on the golf course as well at some point. Not that they need it, as we talked about during the round. You know, the resort itself certainly will attract a lot of people, and for a lot of people that are just coming for just casual play or resort play, you know, the golf course is more than satisfactory for them. All right, so after we finished up there, we had to get back here. Tonight we're actually staying at the Quality Inn in Cornwall, which is just on the outskirts of Charlottetown. But in order to get back here, obviously we took a little bit of a journey because we were done, as we said, our round of golf in about 2.5 hours. So that gave us a little bit of time, and we did get a little hint of sunshine after we played, of course, which gave us an opportunity to kind of zip into Summerside, a place that I lived when I was very small, I guess 2 to 6 years old. So I got to kind of tour you through there a little bit. And then we headed down just so you could have a look at the big old Confederation Bridge. What were your thoughts on the Confederation Bridge? I mean, it's the fixed link that was built, I guess, in 1997. It's about a 13-kilometer bridge for people that are not familiar. It goes from New Brunswick to PEI, but, you know, we stopped in to have a look, and what was your impression of it?
It's a massive bridge. You can just imagine the massive undertaking to build it, but my goodness, I think we read there at one of its peaks, peak point, it's 197 feet high, and that's a big bridge. And it stand on one side, and you're just watching, you're just looking at the cars going across the bridge, and you're looking, it's like they're going, and then they disappear, but there's more bridge beyond where they've disappeared, because it's so far across.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about 13 kilometers of bridge, thank goodness they build the sides of the bridge high enough that you don't have to look over, because... Man, that'd get pretty scary.
Yeah, it gives some people a little bit of, I guess, a little bit nervous. But, you know, it allows people to get on the island without taking the ferry. If they want to take a ferry, they can still do the one that goes out of Caribou, Nova Scotia, and heads over to Wood Islands in the eastern part of PEI. But for more convenience, you just jump on the bridge and come all the way across. So it did change life here a lot, and it makes it a lot easier to access. You don't have to wait for the ferry. You can just pay your toll and drive on over. So from there, we ambled our way along and got towards town. We decided to take a little bit of trip into downtown Charlottetown, which you hadn't been yet. We'd been as far as the airport, took a little walk, visited a couple different things. Two big things actually we ran
two
into
very big things
that were probably a surprise to you when we got down to Charlottetown. Do you want to share that with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen cruise ships on TV before. I mean, I did watch The Love Boat when I was a kid. But these cruise ships are so big. And I'm sure there's people that have been on cruise ships. So, I mean, this is just my own experience of having, you know, my first close-up look at them. But they're hotels on the water. I mean, these are massive boats that hold, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people. And you can just imagine that. I think it was your dad that gave you the number that said that that was 73 or 74 cruise ships that have come into Charlottetown in this year.
Yeah, that's the schedule for the year, about just over 70 that are scheduled to come in. I guess there's a number that are coming in over a period of the next week and a half or so. Charlottetown has become a regular stop for a lot of the cruise ships that come up. A lot of them come out of Boston, and they come up this way, stop in Halifax, and then work their way up the St. Lawrence towards Montreal and come back. Mostly American-based ships, but it's certainly added a lot to the economy. And as a result as well, they've created a terminal there with lots of extra, you know, souvenirs where people can pick up different things at the shop and stuff like that. So it's added a certain life to downtown as well. Not that there's not a lot of tourists when you come here in the summertime, but certainly it's added a lot to the economy. But it's a surprise for a lot of people if they come to the island. I mean, all of a sudden you have these massive cruise ships in the harbor, and they're pretty neat to see as well. And you know, they're shuttling people back and forth. If they're not in the as in today, they had two ships in there, so they had to shuttle people back and forth with their life rafts of what they bring them back in as a, and they had the other one set up at the dock, so it's pretty interesting to watch. You know, took a little walk downtown. Again, your kind of first look, stop at a favorite haunt of mine, and another writer friend of ours, Jeff Brook, from the Globe and Mail, who loves Receiver Coffee. I tweeted about that tonight, and he right away, he was, Receiver Coffee. So what did you think of downtown? Obviously, it's not a massive downtown, but...
They don't have to be massive. I mean, you know, I grew up in Brockville, Ontario, so... you know, non-massive downtowns are not uncommon to me, but there's a lot of history there. And I think, you know, even things like when we were walking around, my wife is a big fan of The Amazing Race Canada, and pointing out the mice. I don't watch The Amazing Race Canada, but I mentioned it to her, and right away she's like, yeah, she said the episode with the mice and how they had to go around and find them all, and you told me the story behind that. And I should point out, for me, having this being my first time to Prince Edward Island, with Scott having lived here and having family, a lot of family here, and having come back so many times, I have my own personal tour guide. So when we're downtown, and I mean, I can't even possibly absorb everything that he's telling me. As he's telling me, I'm trying to take in as much of it as I can, and you know, acknowledge it. But you know, there's just so much history there, you know, it's nice to see it. It's nice to hear about it and learn about it. And I think that's something that people that, you know, if they came on a trip to PEI, whether it's a golf trip or not a golf trip, that's one of the highlights, you know, that they'll be able to take in, is just all the history.
Yeah, I mean, just to clear that up, as far as the mice, of what we're talking about here, what they've done is they actually have little statues of mice that are located around the town, 9 of them, in fact, that are around Charlottetown, and people can follow and go and look for the mice, and they're located at different historic locations or significant locations downtown. People can get a map, and then they kind of work their way around town to do that. Not that there's not a lot of things to see. There's lots of historic plaques, historic buildings, again, lots of little shops as far tour shops, restaurants, all sorts of different things. And it's, like I said, it's not a large downtown, but it's a very walkable city. It's a pleasant place to be. People are super, super friendly, which I think you've noticed. Didn't matter where we went, especially even on the golf course today, all the staff were, you know, saying hi and seeing what was going on. And you know, that's just the genuine nature of people here, which is pretty nice that way. Before we went back to the hotel, I took you for another little bit of detour, and that's probably one of our second last things I guess we'll get to. We did go back downtown for a little bit of dinner, but before we did that, we actually headed out to have a look at a beach. Obviously yesterday we took a little trip out to Cavendish, but the winds were whipping everywhere and we could barely see. There it was raining so hard with the sun sort of popping out, we thought, oh, let's take a look out or go have a look at one of the beaches. Now the nice part about Charlottetown is the fact that there are beaches very close, and one of the closest ones, about 20 minutes from downtown, is Brackley Beach, which is pretty popular with the tourists as well. So we tried to take a little trip out there. Unfortunately, about halfway out there, the rain returned, and you know, we didn't really get the striking visuals that I had hoped you'd be able to see, but we were able to, you know, climb up and have a look at some of the paths and have a look at some of the beachfront and waves crashing in, and take a little drive from Brackley Beach down to Stanhope. And it's a pretty expansive beach. I mean, that part of that national park system, Brackley's been part of the national park system, I think, since 1937, and it is a significant part of kind of the tourism that's here. But it's very nice that, you know, 20 minutes away you've got you know, a spectacular beach.
Yeah, I particularly like the dunes.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff is trying to design golf holes when he's out there looking at the dunes. He's like, man, this would be a great golf hole over here.
I know it can't be done. Yeah, I know you can't do it, but even though you see the dunes and the waves are crashing, the beach is there, and it's just, oh boy, that'd be a nice golf course. You could do 18 holes, 9 out, 9 back in over the dunes. Can't be done, but it still would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing that, I think, since I was a kid, since I was a golfer.
Probably have a sketchbook or something.
Yeah, something like that. I will say, I said to Jeff today that, you know, that was the case as well in Cape Breton. We used to drive by, you know, parts there, and eventually, obviously, one part of that became Cabot Links, which was nice to see. Not to say that, you know, that would ever happen here, but yeah, it's nice to dream and think about it that way. Last bit, I guess, we headed back in town, and we decided to kind of mix things up a bit. We've certainly been doing a lot of seafood in the last little while. Jeff mentioned he sort of wanted maybe a steak, so I took him to one of my favorite spots, a place called Row House, and it's a great spot for local ribeyes, and they obviously have amazing things on the menu. They are one of the restaurants downtown in an area called Victoria Row, which has a lot of different restaurants and shops, and they are a restaurant that is open all year long. Before we did that, we did stop by the casino, though, right?
Yes, we did.
They do have a casino here, a very small one, but it's part of the Red Shores casino and the racetrack. So if you're here as a tourist and you want to pop in and play the slots, I guess you can do that. Catch some live racing. They have a couple of nice restaurants and things there as well. And pretty tidy meal. You enjoyed that?
I did enjoy the meal. Yeah, I did have a bit of a liking for steak tonight, and it was definitely Rojos was definitely a great place to go. It's not a massive restaurant, but it's just quaint. It's quiet. The service was great. The food was great.
You're so descriptive.
That's really ultimately what the I had I had a 12-ounce ribeye, and it was in a Scotch demi-glace sauce, and the vegetables were I have to have the vegetables. You can't just have steak and potatoes. You got to have a few vegetables. And Scott said the French fries were supposed to be really good, so I had the French fries and they were really good. So I guess it was, you know, all in all, that was a good meal.
Yeah, I one thing people have to remember if they do come to Prince Edward Island, obviously with the potato heritage that is here, you're going to get some pretty good fresh cut fries. And if if you have terrible fries here, there's probably no excuse for that. So yeah, the food scene in downtown Charlottetown has really grown in the last number of years. With Holland College having their culinary school here, there's certainly a lot of quality chefs, and we happen to be here at a time of year that the Fall Flavors Festival is on as well. So a lot of the restaurants, a lot of even the golf courses as well, have Fall Flavors menus that are on, and you know, it's a great way to take advantage of some of the things that are native to PEI, and whether it's seafood or the beef, as we said. So it's a good place to come as far as to try and test out your palate as well. So that's pretty good that way. We'll wrap this up and really appreciate everybody kind of tuning in. Unfortunately, I guess wish we had a little bit more details as far as maybe the golf course is concerned, but we're through that fairly quickly. We are off to play Green Gables tomorrow, which is a Stanley Thompson design. And it had a refurbishment by Thomas McGroom several years ago. Well known to a lot of people in the Cavendish Beach area. So we're looking forward to playing that. Head off, I guess, to those adventures as well. Looking forward to sharing that golf course with you.
Yes.
And
always like a Stanley Thompson design golf course.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a classic golf course, one a lot of people are familiar with in coming to that tourist area. So looking forward to getting out there and having you see that and see the renovations. So thanks everybody for listening, and hopefully you tune in and check out more podcasts tomorrow. And always remember, go for the stick.